The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning and welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Good morning. It's March 6th, Friday morning, and it's kind of a wet morning out there, just a little bit of rain, and you're going to wake up to some crusty snow and ice. Watch out for those first few steps when you get out of your house today. Those are the ones that are probably going to be the most slippery after we got some freezing rain and sleet overnight, for sure. Just take it easy. The roads aren't too bad, so you'll get out there and you'll be able to move around to wherever you need to go, but definitely watch your porch and your steps and your driveway and things like that. We have a great show for you this morning. We have Melanie Seiden. She's the executive director of the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum. And that is something we're going to find out more about here during the show today. If you're into railways and you're into some of the history of railroading in Berkshire County, you're going to want to hear this show. It's going to be very interesting. And they've got all kinds of good projects going on. The summer season is coming up where people will once again be able to board and ride a scenic railway here in Berkshire County. Very lucky to have it. So looking forward to that conversation in just a moment. First, let's get to our weather forecast from the National Weather Service. We have hopefully a little quieter day today. I'm hearing that we're going to get up to is it in the 50s tomorrow? That's crazy. All right, let's find out. Here we go. Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect until noon EST today. Today, cloudy. A chance of freezing rain and snow this morning. Highs in the upper 30s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain after midnight. Near steady temperature in the mid 30s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, I guess we're not going to hear what happens tomorrow, but it's that's what I'm hearing anyway. It's going to be quite a bit warmer, and then we're going to get another whipsaw, and it's going to get cold again. So it is March. That is what happens here when we get into the month of March. You don't know what's going to happen day to day. You're certainly going to get some cold weather, some snowy weather, and then some warm weather and some spring-like weather, and we don't know. By the end of the month, we might actually be in spring. We might not. Who knows? It is the way it goes. So again, Morning Drive here. Welcome to the show, and thanks for listening this morning. Melanie Seiden is my guest this morning. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. And so you are executive director of the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum. I got that right, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And so tell us, before we get into what that is and how long it's been operating and stuff, tell us about yourself and how you got to be in this position and what attracted you to the organization.
Absolutely. So in a prior life, I went to school to be a high school English teacher.
Oh, wow.
But when I graduated, it was when the world was sort of imploding and teachers were being let go and people were transitioning. So I actually just sort of fell into the nonprofit world. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a world I was at all familiar with. And I think it's not really on people's radar unless you know someone in it. So I started working at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. And then I left and went to the New York State Council of School Superintendents. Mm. And I had spent 12 and a half years there.
Okay.
And then I decided it was time to take a step back. I have a 13, almost 14-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And I have a son. My son is on the spectrum, and he is genuinely one of the smartest people I know. I learn something new from this child every day. But in taking a step back, it really gave me the opportunity to focus on my family and to reflect on what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And over the last 6 months, before I started with BSRM, I realized I really missed the nonprofit world. I missed having a mission. I missed having something to focus on during the days when my kids were in school. So this opportunity presented itself, And BSRM was actually working with the More Than Giving Company. And they were the ones that reached out and did some initial interviews.
Oh, interesting.
It was. It was very interesting. And then during the first interview with the board members, one of the first things I needed to point out was, like, listen, like, full disclosure, I don't know trains. I just don't. But I do know nonprofits, and I do understand the history and importance of museums, especially growing up in the Midwest. I'm from a very small touristy town, but tourism and museums and history, that was how people made a living.
Right.
So I really, really appreciate it. And in talking to the board, they were so passionate about the history behind the museum and how it impacted the Berkshires. And ultimately, that is what sold me on this position.
Okay.
Now, it is part-time, but in the last couple of weeks, since I just started in January.
Wow. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes, I have learned so much about the history. And I currently live in upstate New York. And I have to say, the Berkshires are gorgeous. It's one of those things, like, how have I not spent more time here? Because it's not that far. It's a beautiful drive. It's scenic. It's peaceful.
You know, I think that's one of the selling points of the Berkshires in general, is that it's close enough to most of the places where a lot of people are and maybe haven't discovered it just yet. You know, and they get here and they're like, oh, this isn't so bad. You know, and I think actually people in the Berkshires had a little bit of a surge during the COVID times because people were looking to get out of cities and population centers. And I think that was a story we heard a lot, where people said, well, you know, I think I could just live here and work remotely. And a lot of people have done that. So I would imagine in the month or two that you've been there, you've learned a lot more about trains than you ever did.
Yes.
What are the most surprising things you've learned so far?
The rules and regulations around operating the equipment.
Okay.
Honestly, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, you know, you push a lever and it goes forward and backwards. It is not that simple. There are so many fail safes, and I understand that you have to have your foot on a pedal the entire time. Okay. And if you start to let it go, the train just stops. It's one of those many safety measures.
Yeah, the air brakes, right?
I appreciate you thinking that I know that answer.
At least that's the story I've heard, right? That wasn't that Westinghouse, wasn't that his like big invention or something that got him started, was something about you know, letting your foot off the pedal and then the brakes automatically engage or something. I don't know. It's lore and history, right?
Yeah. Yes, train aficionados everywhere are listening, be like, oh, Melanie, do better. I'm trying. I really am learning.
I'm going to get the train police on me. They're going to call me or email me after the show and say, you got that all wrong. This is the way it actually works. And it wasn't Westinghouse. It was someone else. But anyway, no, that's interesting. So, you know, just we were talking before the show got started. And I guess one of the things I didn't realize about the organization was that up until you were hired, there was no employee for this organization. It was all volunteer nonprofit organization, right?
Correct. Yes, it has been all volunteer led since it started in 1984.
Wow.
Yes. So quite some time.
Yeah. And so in 1984, then that was specifically centered in the Lenox area, right? And so that line of taking people as a sort of a scenic tour on an old passenger train, that was kind of a new concept. How do you know the story of how that started?
I believe it was a group of train aficionados, people who were just really passionate about it, and they got together and they really just made magic happen. I've heard so many stories from people in the Berkshire saying, you know, I remember going on the train when I was young, like, you guys got to bring that back. And, you know, today I want to say we are working on it. One of the things that we want to do is focus on getting trains running back out of the Lenox station. And the first time I was in the Lenox station looking around, that building is stunning, just beautiful. The hardwood floors, the tall ceilings. I mean, there's some really exciting things that are coming up. One thing that is going to happen, hopefully in April, is we actually have a film crew coming in. And they want to use the Lenox station and the train line in their movie. Like, that is so exciting.
It
and that's
is.
One of those things that shows that the station is so versatile and it can be used for so much more than just the museum being open on, you know, Saturdays over the summer months.
And so, you know, again, so many places lost their train stations, right? That's another historical thing that happened during the urban renewal time of the 50s, 60s, early 70s. And Pittsfield, unfortunately, fell victim to that as well. I've only seen it in pictures. I'm not old enough to remember Pittsfield's Union Station in all its glory. From what I've heard from the old timers that I've talked to, was that it was beautiful. It was what you described in Lenox, you know, the beautiful materials and the floors and the, you know, the build quality and everything, and just the design and the style of it. And for whatever reason, a lot of places did not preserve their old train stations. So this one in Lenox is actually in Lenoxdale, right, if you're not familiar with it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
And do you know when roughly that building was built?
One area said it was built in, I believe, 1902.
Okay.
Another thing I read said it was built in the late 1890s.
Mm.
So approximately. Yeah, right. You know, I feel like historically it's right there, but it is on the National Register of Historic Buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very exciting.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. And I'd say probably like a generation before mine was the generation, probably the last generation that rode trains regularly as passenger. Mm-hmm. You can still ride a train as a passenger, and people do that with the Amtrak. You know, there's the Lakeshore Limited that comes right through Pittsfield, that comes from, you know, Boston, goes out to Chicago or whatever. But lots of people use that. My son used that to go to college. Lots of people use commuter rail and things like that. But the regular process of using it for passenger rail, that's really kind of gone out of vogue. I don't know if it'll come back, and there are certainly some efforts to bring back West-East rail here in Massachusetts. We've spoken to our state representatives and delegation about that here on this show, and they've had plenty of discussion about how that would benefit us economically.
Mm-hmm.
But just the fact that we still have some sort of we've preserved some of the experience of passenger rail and through the Berkshire Scenic Railway. That must be rewarding to know that we still have that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Melanie Seiden, my guest here this morning. If you're just joining us on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, she's the executive director of the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum, and getting just a little history of that organization. So 1984, and all volunteers. And what I didn't realize before you stopped in this morning was that the people that operate the trains, the machinery, the engines, whatever, to do that, those have all been volunteers as well, and continue to be, right?
Correct. Yes, they are all volunteers. And we are actually licensed to certify people. And I believe it takes about 80 hours with our crew.
Oh, wow.
It's very involved, and the team is so serious about safety. It's really incredible to see. I sit, I listen, and I'm just absorbing everything, and I'm surrounded by all these incredibly smart people. And it's really exhilarating to listen to people so impassioned about something.
I'll bet.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many volunteers does the organization currently have? Not all of them, obviously, are operating the machinery, right?
Correct. Yes. No, not all of them are licensed. Many of them just enjoy coming and talking to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Some will work the ticket booth. Some will work the gift shop. Others will work the specialty trains. For example, we have the bunny hop train coming up.
Okay. So what is that?
That is just what it sounds like. So we have a special visitor that will come to the trains and has a gift for all the children.
Hmm.
So the kids get to interact with the Easter bunny. And we only do it 3 weekends,
okay,
but it's a nice start to the year. It's a great opportunity for people to shake off the winter blues, I'm going to say, and give the kids something fun to do. And one of our volunteers is the Easter Bunny, and she does an amazing job. And she volunteers with us throughout the year. In the winter months, I believe she is Mrs. Claus as well.
Uh-huh.
So this woman is incredible. And it's been so great to meet all of these people. And I haven't met all of our volunteers yet.
Hmm.
We do have a cleanup scheduled for tomorrow in Adams. So we're going to take the old decorations out of the equipment and prepare for the Easter Bunny Hop.
Okay. So in the Lenox site, you've got the museum, which is the old train station. And do you still have a passenger car there at the museum? Can people go on that and look around? What does it look like?
Yes. So we do have equipment down at the Lenox Station on the side rails.
Okay.
And when we are open, we will give guided tours, and the volunteers will explain about the equipment, the history behind the apparatus. So that is open. And there is actually no cost to come to the museum. The only thing that cost money is the actual train rides. Because obviously, you know, we're paying for equipment, insurance, things of that nature.
Oh, sure.
And as a nonprofit, part of our mission is educating people about the history. So that's where that museum location comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely looking to, you know, bolster up the displays there. And I'm really optimistic about the location in Adams. We're trying to get a meeting with the Adams Town Administrator so that we can discuss the location there and hopefully add some displays there as well. So it's not just the train rides. So when people come in, they can come into this beautifully redone facility that would have a gift shop, that would have displays to sort of meet that educational aspect. Mm.
So is that facility built yet at all? Is that a concept? In Adams?
So in Adams, there is a building, and the exterior was redone beautifully. Mm. And now we're just exploring how we can fix up the inside to make it work for all parties. Mm.
And give us an idea of where that is in Adams. That's most people would think where the visitor center is there, I think is it Hoosick Street? And then the train line sort of begins there, right? Because it's basically the same line that the Ashuwiltecook bike trail it was built on, right? It's that same old line. So they took up the tracks there to build the bicycle trail.
Mm-hmm.
But then north of that is where that rail line still exists. And that's where the Berkshire Scenic Railway operates. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes. There's this brick building right by it across the street from the visitor center.
Okay.
And that's the building that we are looking at renovating to really bolster up that area. And then the trains are right there. People board. Mm. And part of the interview process, they actually brought me in so that I could experience it. And it was really intriguing. Mm. The conductor was walking through and they were punching the tickets. And he was explaining, Brent, who is one of our board members, that every conductor has a unique
punch.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. I just thought a punch is a punch. Unique.
Why do they have to be unique? I'm kind of curious about that.
You know what? He did not explain that to me, but I believe it's just one of those unique things. It's everyone wants to have their own touch and their own impact. One of the first things that I did, it was the second week that I was with BSRM, and there was a train show in Springfield, Massachusetts. Mm. I did not know how big the train following was. I have learned so many phrases, and I met so many wonderful people. There are people who are creating authentic uniforms for the conductors, and they're
great.
Obviously they're replicas, but the real brass buttons, and people are so passionate about it. And it's just one of those things that's sort of awe-inspiring to see because nowadays, you know, people are passionate about other things, but to see people passionate about history and about operating, I drive through the Berkshires now and I can't help but think how many people are here because of these trains, how many businesses, just how impactful was the train in this area. And I think it's a scope beyond even my comprehension.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It was central to, movement of getting around. And we're not even talking about the streetcars that used to be here, that there was a whole streetcar, network that brought people from, Pittsfield, I guess, all the way up to Hinsdale and in the hill towns, up to North Adams and then to Pownall and Bennington and all the way down to Great Barrington. And it was centered in Pittsfield. Just incredible history that, you can go down a rabbit hole, right? I mean, that's the thing about this, that there's so much history there and it's all, I guess technology in a way that we've discarded. And that's what you mentioned about the uniform and, the buttons and things like that, how important all of that was. It was what you expected when you went on a passenger train, was that, you would act a certain way and if you would have some expectations about how things would work. The trains would run on time, right? I mean, those kinds of things were really important. It's just a different society now since maybe post-World War II, when everything really went toward the automobile, and I don't know that ever goes back. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that we've still got some things that remind us of the past, mm-hmm. such as the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum, and that's, I think, what's really important.
Mm-hmm. I love seeing the pictures of the passengers. Everyone was dressed in their Sunday best, and I'm watching, especially the women. Yeah. You know, as
how old
a woman,
were the pictures?
Oh, gosh. Well, let's see. 2026. So they were probably the 50s and 60s.
Okay, yeah.
And all the women, their hair perfectly done, makeup, high heels, mm-hmm. like, and they're traveling dressed like this. And the men are all in suits and the children are all buttoned up and they look so adorable. And now I can't even imagine, you know, wearing high heels traveling. Like, give me my flip-flops and my sweatpants. And that was just not a thing.
Right.
I can envision perhaps doing, like, a train ride someday where we're like, all right, let's dress in this era. You see that a lot with places like theaters, especially with live theater. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a themed night, dressed to impress. And that would be so fun to try someday.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff that you could, and you could sort of mine that history, right, of what's there. And people, you know, there's so many things you could go back to and play along with that would be fun. So Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum is kind of a seasonal nonprofit, if you will, right?
Yes.
What are your general operating, you know, months of the year and hours and things like that? When can people take advantage of it?
Sure. So during the summer months at the Lenox Station, mm-hmm. we're open Memorial Day through Labor Day.
Okay.
Saturdays, I believe it's 10 to 2. Mm-hmm. So there is no cost to come into the museum. And
so just on Saturdays?
Just on Saturdays.
10 to 2. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are looking at opening for special events, special occasions. Mm. We're trying to bolster up our education background. So we're in talks with a few authors about coming in, doing book talks. We've worked with One Berkshire, and they're going to host an event at our location in October.
Mm.
So it's really a versatile location. But out of our Adams location, we do run trains, you know, seasonally, obviously all summer long, but we do have the Easter Bunny Hop, and then we have the trains for the holiday season at the end of the year. So it really is seasonal. They take a few months off, just like anybody else, just to breathe, work on the equipment.
Well, it's probably not as fun of an experience getting out in 0-degree weather and going on a scenic rail ride, right?
No.
So no, nobody wants that.
No, it is historical equipment, and while much of it is heated, there's only so much that can be done.
So it's historical equipment. Tell us about the vintage then of the age of some of this equipment.
Some of the equipment is from the, I believe, 1960s and 1970s.
Okay.
So it is vintage equipment. Perhaps saying historical might not be accurate, but it is vintage restored equipment that the team takes great pride in. And I couldn't even tell you how large of a fleet we have because I'm still dabbling and learning everything.
Is it one car that people ride on, or is it multiple cars?
I believe it's multiple cars. I believe it's two, but I could be wrong.
So there's an engine and then two passenger cars?
I believe the engine and the passenger car are together.
Okay.
But again, in the back of my head, I can hear the train aficionados yelling at me.
Yes. We'll do our best here this morning.
Because I have seen it. And I remember during the walkthrough, they showed me the old kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is a dining car.
Oh.
And they showed on the wall what the menu used to be.
No kidding.
What they could put out of this little kitchen was incredible. I'm like, some of this is more elaborate than what I put out of my own kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So another project that we're hoping to do is maybe restore that kitchen and actually offer experiences that include food.
Okay. It kind of reminds me of sort of the diner culture, if you will, right? Because you used to be able to do quite a bit out of a very small little kitchen for a diner as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of reminds me of the shape of that also, if you think
about it. Yes.
So these are vintage cars, vintage trains that are running. And it's what are the times in Adams? And is it the same Memorial Day to Labor Day plus the holiday time? Or is it more than that?
It is a little bit more than that. So typically, we will run 11:30, 1, and then 3:30. During the summer months, we do an ice cream train. So we've actually contracted with a local vendor who's going to bring the ice cream truck over.
Nice.
And the kids love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's only 2 runs a day. But obviously during the summer, it's hot. You know, we're trying to not burn our volunteers out.
Sure.
Because obviously, they're some of the most committed volunteers I've ever seen. Mm. Honestly, some of them I think may put in more hours per week than I do, like being part-time. Mm. I'll email out and they just respond right away. I'm like, what do you have going on? Like, I know some of them are working, some of them are retired, but the commitment is next level. I've genuinely never seen that level of commitment in volunteers.
And so being on a Saturday, that probably helps a little bit too with volunteering, because you can certainly still have your full-time weekday job and be involved and do this. And if it's running, so it runs three times on a Saturday. It starts in Adams?
It starts in Adams and goes to North Adams.
And is there like an actual train platform and the, kind of the same setup that you have in Lenox with an old station there that heads up north, or is it different?
It is different. So the Adams location has the platform, but it doesn't have an old station.
Okay. Yeah, and that, again, I don't know the history of. I'm sure Adams had a station at one point. I think there's a. Now that I think of it, there's a pub or a just up the south from there on the train line that may have been the old station. Now, and people in Adams will probably tell me that that was the case. But certainly that's, you know, long changed over into another business. So it's really, you know, North Adams had I've seen pictures of the North Adams station. Again, very, very detailed, beautiful building. Was lost to urban renewal, 50s and 60s, just like the entire south side of the North Adams Main Street was just wiped off the map. You know, so many things that we lost during that time. So it's amazing, honestly, that that we have some of these things still to be able to enjoy to these days. So there's a platform, but no station. You're hoping to refurb that building that's near the platform, and what's that going to be?
Correct. So the building near the platform is currently just a vacant building. We do have some storage in there, and there are bathroom facilities.
Okay.
But before I came on board, the team took the time to work with architects, and they came up with a beautiful design to sort of mimic the look of a train station within the building without tearing down walls, without changing things. But obviously, that's one of those things that we're going to work with the town. We got to get contractors in. Mm-hmm. And that would be a great climate-controlled area, especially for our volunteers. And it's funny, earlier you mentioned the Lee Station, maybe with a restaurant.
Yeah.
And someone did mention that they are a gastropub. I was actually online the other day looking at their website. I'm like, this looks great. Like, I kind of want to go because I've been told that the line is still there. Mm. So in the back of my head, I was like, how cool would it be to run a train through, everyone stop, get off, and go eat at this restaurant? So I might have to stop there in the near future.
No, I mean, and that really describes the way that, you know, tourism and, you know, culture and things are built in this area. This is one of the things that the Berkshires is relying on for a good chunk of its economy is travel, tourism, culture, and the arts. And if you can build all of that with some pretty interesting attractions, like a train museum or a vintage, you know, ride on a passenger train, you know, you can really build it all together. Not one of those things alone is going to make it. You know, you're going to have some anchor institutions, and we know what those are in the Berkshires. Certainly, you know, Pittsfield has a couple of them now with our theaters, and we have your Tanglewood and your Norman Rockwell Museum and Jacob's Pillow, and, you know, places in Massmoka, for example, in North Adams. So those are, I think, your anchor institutions for culture and the arts and tourism. But at the same time, we have all these other great, you know, outdoor thing. We have the Greylock Glen now in Adams, where, you know, you're encouraging people to come and take advantage of the outdoor beauty and the hiking, and they're skiing in the winter. So these are all things that contribute to an economy, and nonprofits are a big part of that here in the Berkshires. I mean, we've actually had, and I think this connection this morning, we're talking today because we connected through the Nonprofit Center of the Berkshires. And that's another tremendous organization that ties all of these organizations together. The highest concentration of nonprofits in the entire state, really, right here in the Berkshires. So, you know, I can't, I'm talking too much here, but the idea is that, you know, you can build an economy around this for a small area that isn't a Boston or a New York City, mm-hmm. or even an Albany or a Springfield.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, my understanding is that I'm going to call it the heyday of BSRM. Mm. Back in Lenox, they would run the Polar Express train, and that brought in thousands of people. Hmm. And my understanding is it did great things for the economy of Lenox. People were eating at the restaurants. Mm-hmm. They were staying at the hotels. So when we were unable to operate out of that location, obviously there was a hit in the area.
Yeah.
My understanding is that a lot of the community members are very supportive, and everyone I've talked to so far is just very excited at the possibility of us bringing back operations.
Yeah. And I'd like to talk to you more about that in the second half of the show. We'll talk about the future of getting some passenger rail, some tourism rail back in the southern part of Berkshire County in the future, and talk about some of the sort of headwinds that you've got on that and the difficulties. It's not all simple, right? That's kind of what you said at the beginning. We'll talk more about that. We did have reached the part of the show where we take our top of the hour break. We're going to do that real quick here and then get back to our conversation with Melanie Seiden, the executive director of Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum here in Berkshire County. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll return right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR, Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey water lovers, this is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. And listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, and Stockbridge, good morning, and thanks for joining us this morning. You may also be watching the program on the PCTV Select app, which is available on Roku and Fire TV and on your computer at pittsfieldtv.org, or you could be watching it on Channel 1301 Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Any of those ways works. You can watch us if you missed the show on a morning. You can come back and watch it at our website. All kinds of different ways to watch and listen to this program. We appreciate you being here to do that. And we do have kind of a regular following. We always like that. People tune in and hear something different here every day on the show. And today we're talking about the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum. You haven't heard about that before on the show. This is the first time that we're talking to Melanie Seiden, the new executive director there. So great talking with her. And we're going to find out more about that in the second half of the show. First, let's get to the weather forecast one more time and see what we have in store for us today. Here we go.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Winter weather advisory in effect until noon EST today. Today, cloudy. A chance of freezing rain and snow this morning. Highs in the upper 30s. East wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of rain after midnight. Near steady temperature in the mid 30s. Southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, there you have it for the rest of today. And then tomorrow I'm hearing we're going to be up in the 50s again. And then back down again on Sunday. And who knows? I think that I was hearing that we could have another storm system middle of next week. That's the, you know, you never believe that until the night before, but that's what I'm hearing. And just, you know, one of those things. We're going to get some cycles of different weather here in March, and then we'll be in April. That'll be it. We're already on the 6th of March. Happens very quickly. All right. Melanie Seiden, my guest here this morning. Thanks again, Melanie, for being here this morning and coming in and talking to us about the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we kind of left off in Adams talking about the line up there and how and when people can use it. And did you say again a little bit longer than that standard late May to Labor Day time period? What are the shoulder seasons there in Adams?
Oh, absolutely. So seasonally, right now, we're actually going to kick off in late March. So we're going to run three trains, okay. One each weekend. And for the
Easter
Bunny,
it's only a couple weeks away.
It is only a couple weeks away, yes. So we are working to redecorate the trains. We've set up the schedule. The volunteers are gearing up. Everyone's getting excited for it. Mm-hmm. And we're getting the information up on our website. And the marketing crew has done a great job getting that out there. Mm.
And then will it continue after those sort of bunny hop trains are up through May? Is it going to be every Saturday after that?
It's not going to be every Saturday after that. It really is more seasonally. Mm. But we are working on a full schedule for the entire summer and then already looking towards the end of the year for the Christmas season.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what's the demand like? Do people sort of, as springtime gets rolling along, they're more interested in doing that thing, those things, and you get more of a crowd that will come in and start being interested in that as more people filter into the Berkshires for the summer season?
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was on the back end of our website just yesterday, and people are reaching out asking, you know, when do you start operating? Because one thing we also do is we do like charters, so people can rent an entire train for the afternoon in an hour.
That's an interesting option,
yes,
right?
There are a lot of opportunities and requests for private displays in the museum. Mm. So many opportunities out of Lenox. And we also have the Stockbridge Station.
Okay.
And we actually just did a renovation down there. Hmm. We are going to be renting it to someone, but they seem very open to collaboration. So if we're able to resume running on the Berkshire line, we could possibly stop at the Stockbridge Station. Hmm. And I have a meeting with Stockbridge next Friday. So okay. I'm eager to talk to them. One big thing we want to focus on is community collaboration. Hmm. How can we work together to support each other? Because I feel like that's what nonprofits are all about, serving the communities that you're in.
Yeah. Well, and certainly in Berkshire County, I know I've had many conversations here with folks through the COVID time period and everything where there was really kind of a special relationship between a lot of the nonprofits here where, you know, things just needed to get done and organizations worked together to get things done. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the story of how nonprofits work in the Berkshires, is that there is a lot of collaboration. The people make connections and they say, hey, how can we help you? Maybe we can work together on this. There's a lot of that that goes on. So it's fantastic fantastic place to do nonprofit work for sure. So back up in Adams again, take us through what a train ride would be. So you say it runs at 11:30, at 1, and at 3. Mm-hmm. And so each time you're starting from Adams and you're traveling north for how long and for how many miles, and then what happens?
I believe it's about 5 miles one way. It ends up being round trip about 1 hour.
Okay.
So we recommend people get there 20, 30 minutes before so that they can get their tickets, they can get in line, and the seats are assigned, but you get to pick the seats when you book your tickets. And people will get on. If it is themed, they'll be greeted by the guest of honor in March and early April. That would be the Easter Bunny.
Right.
And, you know, winter months, that would be Santa. And during the summer months, we have the ice cream trains. But obviously, the ice cream comes after. So we don't want people, you know, having ice cream in the train.
Yeah, we don't want to clean the train then.
No, we obviously always clean the train.
Yeah, of course.
But we don't want to
not
clean
from ice
that.
Cream. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so you're riding on the train and you're heading up, and does it cross into North Adams? Does it, or is it just really close to the line? I don't remember exactly where it ends. I thought it was closer to Hodges Crossroad up in North Adams, but I could be completely off on that.
You know, I wish I had that answer. I've been on the train once, but that was the one and only time I'd been in Adams.
Okay.
So I will be up in Adams tomorrow. So I feel like I'm going to have to double check and take a look. One thing that the board and I have talked about is during the warmer months, we might be able to get me out there so I can get more acclimated and understand it more firmly.
Yeah.
Obviously, my board are working right now.
Right.
So I'm here by myself trying the best that I can.
And obviously, you have a very active board. And the board are the people who are sort of driving the vision, as most boards do, for the organization. But it also sounds like they have a tremendous amount of ownership in this, having been sort of the driving force since 1984. I mean, that's more than 40 years now of operating the idea of keeping a railroad and railway museum going, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you spend about an hour or so on that trip, and you get back off. Let's move down to the Lenox situation right now. So the station and the museum in Lenoxdale, for several years, it was operating, and you had equipment that's there that would travel south, right? So that would be the northernmost part of the track that that the tourists would see, and then they'd head south from there. How far south did it go? Do you know?
I honestly do not, because it's been since, I believe, 2011 or 2012 since we've actually been able to operate trains out of that location.
At least probably to the Lee station and then back, maybe it was that?
I believe so, and I know we've definitely gone from Lenox to the Stockbridge location and back, because when we were running the Polar Express, we would start at the Lenox location, and then we would go to Stockbridge, and people would get off, and Stockbridge was the North Pole, basically. Santa would be there. They would get hot chocolate and cookies, and while I never got to experience it, I've heard some really lovely stories about it from people who have either done it or worked it.
So that happened for a while. And then what was the change? Why was it that it was not, you were not no longer able to operate on those tracks?
There was some construction being done to the train tracks, and we simply never had the renewal done. So now I'll be meeting later today with Representative Lee Davis to sort of start those talks and figure out what do we have to do to get access to those again. And while it is going to be a slow process, I anticipate, it's a process that we're going to go through, because the people of Berkshire really deserve that.
Yeah.
You know, they deserve to enjoy that beautiful scenery and to have tourism really come back for that.
No, it's such a great experience to be able to have. And it can be an attraction. It can bring people in, or it could be just one part of their overall experience here. So it is complicated, right? So the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum operates the equipment that you have. The tracks are not owned by the Berkshire Scenic Railway, right?
No, they are not. Yeah. No.
So the ones in Adams, into North Adams, who owns those tracks?
I know that Mass DOT were the ones that got us access to that.
Okay. Are they still used for other purposes, or is that the only purpose that you know of on that those tracks?
For that specific location, it is just the tourism rail lines.
Okay.
The tracks that we used to run on for the Berkshire line, that is primarily freight now. So obviously, like Monday through Friday, the freight lines are going back and forth. And I believe MassDOT is done with the construction. But that's going to be part of that conversation that I have this afternoon.
So that's the Housatonic Railroad, which is all freight. Mm-hmm. And are there different regulations for having, and you're just starting to learn some of that, you were saying at the beginning, between having a freight railroad on tracks and having either a passenger railroad or a tourist railroad, right? Those are all sort of different uses of tracks.
They are different classifications of uses, but safety protocols are high no matter which one you do.
Mm.
And I didn't fully understand how involved the safety protocols were until I started.
Mm.
We are actually having a safety course coming up where the volunteers come in and they have to go through the courses and take the test to confirm. You know, we pay for people to go have their eyes done, like full physicals to make sure that people are of sound mind and body and that they're able to run the equipment.
Huh.
Yeah, it's some people would be like, hey, can I come in and just run the train for the day? And as much as I want to say yes, the answer is no.
Yeah.
You need to know what you're doing. And fortunately, we are able to train people to do that.
Train people to do that. Yes, indeed. Melanie Seiden, my guest here this morning. She's the executive director of the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum, which operates the museum and hopefully someday again, actual train in the Lenoxdale station headed south, and then also running a regular train service, tourism service on Saturdays, starting only in a few weeks for a couple of special runs and then mostly right through the summer and early fall months and then into the holiday season for another special. So all kinds of stuff going on there in the North Adams side.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel in general about the sort of state of rail that's going on right now with regards to the, have you heard any of the east-west rail talk that's going on about bringing passenger rail back?
I have only seen what has been out on social media.
Yeah.
I know people are talking about it. I don't see true passenger trains coming through any of our stations.
Mm.
Most of it is out of the city, out of Amtrak. Mm-hmm. I know with Rensselaer, the Albany area.
Yeah.
But I don't personally see passenger trains starting. Tourism trains, 100%.
Yeah.
There's just not as much of a need for passenger trains locally as there once was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that I'm learning as I'm going and reading what's coming across. So I could be completely wrong and, you know, a month from now, watch passenger trains are coming through.
Well, I guess there was a big effort for the past two or three years for the Berkshire Flyer, which was a train that would take you from Pittsfield and then use existing some freight lines and some other lines, Amtrak lines or whatever, to get to New York City and back so that you could, again, passenger, but really tourism passenger, to get people to the Berkshires on a Friday night and then get them back to New York City on a Sunday evening. I don't know what the current status of that is. I will probably have to ask our state representatives because some of that was a pilot program and it was, you know, specially funded and things. But it did bring back, you know, some of, I think, what people, you know, nostalgically thought of as a way of, you know, taking people, bringing them to the Berkshires during some of the high tourism seasons. They ran into some issues with, I think, what they would call the last mile.
Mm.
Which is when they got them to the station, and in Pittsfield it would be the intermodal transportation station. There was, you know, maybe they get in at 8-9 o'clock at night on a Friday. We don't have a lot of Ubers. We don't have so many taxis. So if people wanted to get from there to a hotel or there to a bed and breakfast or somewhere, they were kind of left out in the cold, you know. And so there's been a lot of talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I definitely love the idea of trains coming from New York City to the Berkshires.
Yeah.
A big thing back in its heyday, people would come from New York City and they would come down just to go skiing. They would load
absolutely.
Up all their ski equipment and they would come down for the weekend. And they would, I see a little flyer at the Lenox station that mm-hmm. showed what the rate was. And the rate was maybe $2 to $3 for a round trip from New York City to Lenox Station for these particular ski operations.
Yeah.
So I love that idea for sure.
Yep. And a lot of those folks were either headed to, you know, Bosque in Pittsfield, or maybe they were going up further to Jiminy or Brody, or, you know, maybe even Dutch Mountain up in Hartwellville, Vermont. You know, there were places like that that would bring you to the Berkshires. And then, you know, it was up to you there how many places you were going to ski for the weekend. But it was doable, right? Mm-hmm. And it was, that was, if you're in the city, you're not doing a lot of skiing. Mm-hmm. But in Berkshires, you could do a lot of skiing.
No, definitely.
So let's talk about the organization, Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum, and membership, because we sort of started to talk about fundraising and how an organization, you know, continues to do the good work that they do. Membership seems to be one of the key areas that you do for that.
Yes, we offer several different tiers of membership to volunteer with us. There is an actual volunteer membership category, and that's really for insurance purposes. Mm-hmm. But then the other tiers, you know, you have a single, couple, family, and with the family, it is $75 annually. Hmm. But that includes four tickets to one of our trains.
Okay.
So in and of itself, the family membership pays for itself.
Hmm.
And obviously there are other tiers, and there are opportunities to either volunteer your time, donate funds. Really, there's an opportunity for anybody, depending on what you want to do. Mm-hmm. If you're not a people person, but you like to tinker, we've got that opportunity. If you're a people person, but don't know trains, we can still get you in front of the people. You can welcome them, make them feel at home, and help get them on the trains.
Yeah. Are some of the people that are members and board members, are they also people that are interested in maintaining the equipment? And how into it are they? Are they people that are that have a lot of knowledge of those things, or do you have to bring in some outside help sometimes to maintain?
We do have engineers that are volunteers.
Oh, great.
And listening to them talk about the equipment and what they have done is, they're speaking Greek to me, but they really do know what they're doing. Hmm. It's so incredible to watch, and I've gone through and I've looked at pictures of them over the years, and some of the volunteers that are still there today were there when they started in 1984.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a testament to a great organization, right? If you can keep people that long and dedicated to what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's good to have too, right? You need that kind of technical expertise and knowledge to keep, you know, some of the vintage equipment running.
Mm-hmm.
It's always hard because you're not going to probably get much more modern equipment. That wouldn't be as much fun, right? You got to ride on the old trains.
Yes, you absolutely need to ride on the authentic older trains. And obviously, though, that's not necessarily equipment that you can just buy anywhere.
Right.
So some of this is custom made, or they have to take and configure it to work properly and up to standard, because all the trains are regularly looked at for security and safety purposes. Mm.
I'll bet they probably have some information about where the trains originated from. I would imagine that these particular units were not native to the Berkshires originally. Maybe they were, I don't know. But sometimes they'll find them in other places and they'll bring them in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I'll bet they have all of that history.
Oh, they absolutely do. And I wish I had all of that history to share with you right now. I do believe some of the equipment is local.
Okay.
Some of it was donated. Mm-hmm. Some of it has been lent to us. Mm. But it's really lovely when people trust us enough with their personal equipment, because they know that we're going to take great care of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they always say, if you're going to borrow something, give it back in better condition. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal, always to do the best that we possibly can.
Mm. Melanie Seiden is joining me this morning. If you're just joining us on Morning Drive, she is the executive director of the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum here in Berkshire County, operating both out of Lenoxdale, and Adams, doing great work here in the mostly in the tourism months of the Berkshires. And let's talk about how you market the organization. That sounds like it's going to be a big goal of yours to work on, and certainly bringing new members in and garnering fundraising to keep the organization going, probably a high priority. But then also bringing in some memories and some nostalgia, right, of tying that all in. Talk about what your efforts are doing that.
So right now we are working on putting together a full marketing plan from A to Z. Hmm. The website has a ton ton of information. It actually does have some links to videos that I recommend people go and take a look at.
We should tell them what that website is right now.
Oh, yes. www.berkshiretrains.org.
Berkshiretrains.org.
Yes.
Berkshiretrains.org. That mm-hmm. is the website.
Yes.
Yes.
And part of that is revamping the website a little bit, making it more user-friendly, updating it, because some of the information has been outdated. And there's so much that we can get out there. And obviously, you have social media. So you've got Facebook, Instagram, TikTok of all things.
Yes.
And one thing that we've dabbled with, I was like, we should do like a train talk with people who just have all those memories. And with the volunteers, I want to get their stories.
Like an oral history.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Yep. Yeah. Some of the members that have been there since the start of time, they want to still be physically involved, but you know, in their age, they don't necessarily feel like they want to drive all the way here and back, but their knowledge is so invaluable. And we need to get that written down. We need to get it recorded.
Yeah.
We have in the past recorded some older volunteers, so we do have those videos, which is great to see. But I would love to get to a point where quarterly we can share stories, memories of the train, because that's really how you're going to record the history, is from people who have either lived it or remember it. And it's sort of our job and our responsibility to get those stories down before they're lost.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll make a huge difference. And so do you envision that as part of the website also, where people can get all of that experience when they get there and sort of click on and experience what some of those folks have put down in those recordings, and then also get a flavor for what they're going to experience when they go on and ride the train itself?
Yes, I would love to get to a point where we're regularly circulating out those stories. But people can also subscribe to our newsletter. So we do send out an e-newsletter periodically that says what the museum's doing. It'll share some history. And it's just a great opportunity to stay involved.
And how do people get a hold of that newsletter? How do they sign up for that?
Just right on our website.
Yeah.
Yep. You can subscribe.
And again, the website is
BerkshireTrains.org.
I got to say it on radio because people will forget. And so it is amazing to hear, you know, how volunteer driven this organization really is and has been since its founding in 1984. How do you attract new members? Because if you've got folks that have been around for that long and have that institutional knowledge and the history, you want to be able to transfer that to another new generation who can take the reins at some point, right? How do you bring new people in that have the same passion?
Honestly, by doing things like this, talking to the general public, going to events, welcoming people in. You'd be amazed at how many people would volunteer if they were just asked. Because oftentimes people assume the volunteers are going to come to us, and it's not always that simple. People want to be needed.
Yeah.
Asking is usually as far as you have to go, and people will enthusiastically say yes. And then it's a matter of onboarding them, getting them trained, and getting them comfortable. But asking and networking is huge when it comes to that.
That's one of the keys of nonprofits, isn't it? And it sounds so simple. And it's like, if you didn't have someone tell you that, you wouldn't have even thought of it yourself. But you have to ask.
Yes.
And that lends itself also to fundraising. In a lot of ways, there are people that are intimidated by asking people to support something, asking them to give money for something. But really, that is the crux of it, right? You can't operate and you can't continue to do it unless you're willing to make that ask.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I mean, the worst anyone can say is no.
Right.
it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
But yes, we would definitely welcome any volunteers. So my shameless plug going out
well,
there.
That's all we do here. Shameless plugs. But if someone is interested in volunteering, becoming a member or something like that, they go to the website for that? Is there a phone number? Is there someone they can call? Or how do they put their hat in the ring?
So they can go
their conductor's hat in the ring.
They can go right to the website, and there's a volunteer form. And then I see those at the back end of our website. They can always email me directly. So it's msiden@berkshirescenicrailroad.org. I will respond. Remember, I am part-time. So if I don't respond right away, understand, I will get back to you.
Right. It's easy for a part-time to turn into a full-time very quickly if you don't put some guardrails on that.
But, you know, it is. Yeah. But it's so great to be around so many passionate people and learning so much about this. A year from now, I'm hoping to know half as much as some of my board members.
Well, I'm sure you will. You're just going to soak it up like a sponge for the entire year. But Melanie Seiden, it's great to meet you and talk with you about the Berkshire Scenic Railway Museum today. Fantastic. Good luck with everything going on this year and getting those trains on the tracks.
Thank you so much.
All right, you bet. All right, everybody, have a good day and a good weekend. Morning Drive will return again on Monday with Brian Berkel as host, and we will see you then. Take care.